Overdose is it's an important public health problem, and I think Nick just laid that out really nicely. And it belongs here. It belongs at APHA as a topic for focus, and we need input. We need more people to get involved in this epidemic to help us out. So I'm a primary care physician. Overdose is not really it's an emergency medicine issue, typically. But because I work with drug users in a lot of my primary care, I found out that overdose is a regular part of their lives, not just they themselves overdosing, but their loved ones, their friends, and people that they encounter. Overdose is a common event, and it's becoming more common, as again Nick laid out. So my disclosures, I have no commercial relationships to disclose. I am going to talk about naloxone, which is FDA approved for the reversal of opioid overdose. However, the form in which I'm going to discuss it is the intranasal delivery form, which actually technically that is not FDA approved and is an off-label delivery mechanism. I have more slides than I have time, so I may blow by some of them, but it sounds like you're going to get a copy of the slides or have access to them. This is just to put Massachusetts alongside of Nick's data. The red line is our motor vehicle fatalities in Massachusetts from 1997 to 2007. And the blue line are opioid-specific related fatalities, really overdose deaths from opioids. So it's not just overdose deaths in Massachusetts. It's actually opioid overdoses that exceed motor vehicle accidents since 2005. And they've been on the increase. And that's statistics, but the Boston Herald is the newspaper where I hope not to be on the cover of. They documented in 2006 in basically a photojournalism exhibit a man dying in Boston Common from an opioid overdose. And so this actually raised a lot of public awareness around overdose. I'll show you where it led. So what is driving the increases in overdoses in Massachusetts? Well, I think Nick really strongly argued for that there are new drug use patterns. There's new drugs on the block, and they are prescription opioids as well as other prescription medications that are sedating, and in combination, these are dangerous. In the methadone clinic I work in, the new profile of the 20-year-old new methadone admission is somebody who started with prescription opioids. However, I will say in Massachusetts, by the time they get to me, they're on heroin. Heroin is still a major, major issue in Massachusetts. It's the leading drug threat in all of New England. I think we're the one region in the U.S. where heroin is number one as far as the DEA is concerned. From 93 to 2010, heroin was reported as a primary drug in drug treatment settings, increased from 19% to 40% for people presenting to treatment. So heroin is still a big deal in Massachusetts. It's available everywhere. But I think that prescription opioids are driving more people into heroin use. The prescribing patterns, so Nick already mentioned this, of Schedule II opioids have doubled in the past decade. And then we've been challenged, like other states, probably less than a lot of other states, but we've been challenged by budget cuts, which specifically in 2001 and to 2004 really restricted access to publicly funded treatment. Here is a look at treatment. It's a busy slide. And I'm not sure, we don't have a pointer, but okay, so by color, heroin is the purple line, and you can see that treatment admissions due to heroin has continued to increase over the last 10 years. And alcohol, interestingly, has decreased, and so has cocaine. The ones you can't see very well are the triangles and the crossbars. So the triangles are prescription opioid treatment entries, and they have been actually, they've doubled from 10% of treatment admissions to 20% of treatment admissions. So that's really a dramatic increase. But you've also seen an increase in what are called tranquilizers, which are the benzodiazepines that Nick was also. So this is what we're seeing at the door of the treatment facility in Massachusetts. Okay, so we've laid the groundwork. There's a big problem. I'm going to talk about overdose education and naloxone distribution as a strategy to address this increase in opioid overdoses. And then at the end, I'm actually going to talk, I'm going to give you a broader view of what's going on in Massachusetts as far as other strategies to attack this problem. We're not, by far, we're not the first people to do intranasal or to do naloxone distribution and overdose education. In fact, you're going to hear from two other excellent programs in other states. But I did want to give you a picture. In 2007, there were 9 states that were doing overdose education and naloxone distribution in the United States. That's grown to 17, as best as we can tell, in 2010, from 42 programs to 131 programs. In 2007, there were 21,000 people in the U.S. who were trained in overdose education and received naloxone in the community to reverse overdoses. And there were over 2,600 reported overdose reversals through these programs. And we don't have the numbers yet for 2010. There's a survey that's actually in process, but those numbers will have grown substantially. And so that you can see some of the, you might see your city or your town or someplace close down there on the bottom where there's a program. What's the rationale for educating people about overdose and distributing naloxone? Well, it turns out that most opioid users do not use alone. And so there's somebody else there when they overdose, and there's something that can be done by the bystander. This is the person who's there when they overdose is a bystander. There's something they can do. The risk factors for overdose are actually known pretty well, and we can educate people about those, and then they can take steps themselves to decrease their risk of overdose. Obviously, not using an opioid is the easiest way to not overdose, but that is not a reality for a lot of people, and there's a lot of other steps that can be taken short of that. There's an opportunity window. Unlike what you see in the movies, overdose happens, at least opioid overdose usually happens over hours. And that allows there's time actually to intervene and make a difference. It's been demonstrated in all these programs that bystanders are trainable to recognize overdoses. One of the big barriers to seeking help and getting other people who are trained, like the emergency medical system, is there's a real fear of police that's ubiquitous across communities. And this is a big barrier, and it's difficult to address this barrier. So distributing naloxone may be one way to address overdose short of that. And then naloxone can be seen as a last line of defense after other things have been tried. Naloxone is a medication. It reverses opioid-related sedation and respiratory depression. It's not psychoactive itself. It has no abuse potential. It may cause acute withdrawal symptoms if it's given in too high of a dose, which is not, withdrawal symptoms are not life-threatening, but they are uncomfortable for the person whose overdose has been reversed. Naloxone can be delivered through the muscle, in a muscle injection, intravenously under the skin, or sprayed into the nose. It takes 2 to 8 minutes to work, and it lasts about 30 to 90 minutes, which is an important point because a lot of opioids last a lot longer than 90 minutes, for example, methadone. And so people need to be educated about that. Naloxone can be repeated over and over again. You can't overdose on naloxone. So knowing this, actually before the Boston Public Health Commission took up this, the Boston EMS, the ambulance service, actually was overwhelmed with overdose calls. And they have a combination of basic life support trucks and advanced life support trucks. And an overdose call is a respiratory arrest, and that requires usually advanced life support. Well, in 2005, 2006, Boston equipped all of its BLS trucks with intranasal naloxone, did special training with those ambulance workers, and now in Boston, an opioid overdose is a basic life support call where the basic EMT delivers naloxone and transports to the hospital. And so in that context, with the news from the Herald and what was known around the epidemiology of overdose, the Boston Public Health Commission developed or implemented a overdose education and naloxone distribution program through their needle exchange program. And this started in September 2006 and continued through this. The program went more statewide in December 2007. Over that period of time, 385 needle exchange participants, who were for the most part active users, mostly opioid dependent, were enrolled. 50 of them came back and reported overdose reversals, and they reported 74 overdose reversals in 15 months. The health commissioner of the city was, his next job was health commissioner of the state. And so when that happened in 2007, he wanted to bring this program statewide. And so we now have 8 distribution sites, or 8 community-based programs that under a state contract do overdose education and naloxone distribution, supported by the State Department of Public Health. This is the state of Massachusetts, and you can see those sites highlighted. They hit most but not all of the major metropolitan areas in Massachusetts. There are still some areas, namely Worcester, Lawrence, Lowell, where we have not implemented this program, and that's largely because of because they're politically it's not been possible. So what's our overdose education naloxone distribution program is allows for us to distribute naloxone to bystanders. And that is done because it is recognized by the state and the Department of Public Health as a public health pilot. So typically, because naloxone, it's not a controlled substance, but it's a prescribed substance, typically naloxone needs to be prescribed from a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant directly to a patient, somebody who they themselves is at risk for overdose. But because the state has taken this on as a public health pilot, we are allowed to distribute naloxone directly to bystanders, regardless of their own personal risk of overdose. And so this is done through the medical director issuing a standing order. So these are the components of, I have to fly here, so here these are the components. Approved staff enroll in the pilot and distribute naloxone, they enroll people. The curriculum delivers education, overdose prevention, identification, and management. All of the sites have referral to substance abuse treatment available, although that's not their primary mission. There's reports on overdose reversals are then collected back because once people use naloxone, they want more because they might need to use it again. And so we get reports back. And then we have the sites collect information and submit it to the health department. Every kit includes 2 doses. We've enrolled almost 8,000 people since the Boston started in 2006. 2/3 of these are people who have declared active drug use or drug use histories, but 1/3 actually are family members and professionals who are working in the community. You can see the demographics there. The main point I want you to take on this slide is that overdose is common. 80% of the active users have overdosed, have witnessed an overdose. Over 50% of them have actually experienced an overdose, and almost 50% of those who've experienced an overdose have been treated with naloxone in the past. So this is not a rare event. We're not talking about rare events. And then among those who are non-users, almost 50% of them who are enrolling have witnessed an overdose themselves. So these are parents, family members who've seen their family members overdose. I'm going to skip this slide. You can look at it in the materials you find online. I do want to highlight this slide. So these are the places where we are enrolling people. The white bars are the active users or the people who are in treatment who have a known drug use history. And the blue bars are the people who are families, friends, professionals of drug users. And so it turns out initially needle exchanges were the places we were enrolling the most people, but now we're really in a lot of detoxes, which makes sense because that's a high risk area. We're also in community meetings, and these are largely parents' meetings. They're asking us to come. We didn't have to go to them and solicit. Methadone clinics, we do home visits now. We're in some traditional medical settings, although we'd like to be in more. We've reversed 755 overdoses since 2010. In a variety of settings, about 1/3 of the time, 911 is called or public safety is present, it is what it is. That's what people feel comfortable doing. I'm going to skip this slide as well. The state has a comprehensive strategy that this is just one part of. And so these are the goals, which I think are straightforward. I do want to highlight the other things that the state is doing. So they're doing ESPERT on quite a broad scale. That's been presented. There's new, reconstitution of the budget, there's new treatment services, including post-detox services, and it's really a post-detox period that's high risk. There's expansion of buprenorphine treatment to federally qualified health centers. Massachusetts has had a prescription drug monitoring program for a long time. It's basically not helpful to the medical community, and that's being changed this year. We're disseminating overdose prevention materials. I brought some of them in. They're on the back table. Working with staff of criminal justice, addiction treatment, and homeless service programs, implementing overdose education and naloxone distribution. And then we have a SAMHSA, I think it's called SPIF grant, to implement community coalitions. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to talk about this, but basically there is a SAMHSA grant that has allowed us to focus on overdose in 15 communities throughout the state. And what they've done is really worked collaboratively and in a, working with a lot of stakeholders broader than the overdose education and naloxone distribution programs. And one of the things that they keep coming back to, actually, and not initially, but now, is bringing in these OE&D programs to help out. And so it's been a nice partnership. These are changes to the prescription monitoring program, which makes it more usable. So overdose is common. There's multiple interventions. It's important to engage both high-risk populations and community-based groups. OE&D programs, I think, are demonstrating, not just in Massachusetts, but in multiple communities, multiple situations with multiple stakeholders, that they're acceptable, feasible, and effective. Demand for these programs is high. It's important to really have both support from the top, as well as strong support from community-based organizations who know these high-risk populations. We're going to continue to evaluate. I mentioned the opportunity, which is unfortunate, but it's an opportunity for a natural experiment where we have communities where this program has not been implemented, and we're in the midst of doing an evaluation comparing overdose rates in towns where we have implemented versus towns where we have not implemented. Thank you very much.